Well, let's call the investment policy for the finance committee to order. Attending are myself, Mark Frye as chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Hannah, Mr. Richardson as members of the committee. Also in attendance are council members Anson and McCann, Mayor Stow, Mr. Schreier, Chief Miller, Mrs. Brining, and Mr. Sanford are also in attendance this evening. Purpose of this, as you recall, we've had an investment policy for many years. Mr. Schreier sent over some potential revisions to the document. The current investment policy was passed, if I recall correctly, Mr. Schreier, in 2001. In February of 2001 by council. And obviously, 22 years old, lots of stuff changed. Revised code, however, obviously has a huge influence on what we are and aren't allowed to be involved with from a municipal decision-making standpoint. But fundamentally, in the last finance committee meeting, you recall that we asked the administration to draft some potential revised policies for our consideration. And that's the purpose of the meeting this evening. So Mr. Schreier, you were kind enough to send out in a few days in advance the policy, printed a copy off, that's great. If you would, could you go through for us the changes that were made? And I know it's materially shorter than the old one. And then why you changed things and what you've cut out.
Sure. Okay.
That'd be great.
Can I make sure everybody's got a copy, though, of what the actual policy you should have in front of you, and then section 12905 of our codified ordinances that establishes the Treasury Investment Board. It's one page. Mr. Frye had asked for our investment and bank balances. That's current. And then I also gave you a one-page copy of another local community, their investment depository policy. We're looking at, you want me to go through the old policy, Mr. Frye?
Well, not so much the old policy, but just do a comparison, because the old policy being a PDF and this would be in a Word document was... I mean, I went through it, but I'm not sure that I picked everything up because of the nature of it.
You guys want to grab the new policy, and we'll go through that, and I'll touch on the changes.
Great.
Table of contents is, you know, some of that's different on some sections that I took out, but nothing. The wording is all the same. It's just some sections that have come out, and we'll get into that later. The purpose and scope of investment is not unchanged from the original policy. I've highlighted some key areas there to bring to your attention. And the first one under purpose is the last sentence there, these policies have been adopted by and can be only changed by a majority vote of the Treasury Investment Board. The Treasury Investment Board was established in our codified ordinances as the finance director, law director, and the mayor. And that wording is in the original policy, so that's not changed. Scope of investment policy, again, nothing's changed there. The short paragraph there is just talking about all the practices go back to the codified ordinance section 12905, which is where we established that Treasury Board, Investment Treasury Board.
Where is the makeup of the investment treasury board spelled out? It's not in the ordinance, right?
It's in, you should have a copy of that.
It's 12905.
It's a one page writing just on the top.
Yeah.
Subsection A.
It's in this memo. You quoted it in the memorandum, right?
Mm-hmm. If you look at, yeah, subsection A says what?
Mayor, director, finance, and director of law.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it. Sorry.
Back to page one, the investment objectives have not changed. And again, when we had our financial investment advisors come in, they all talked about these, the preservation of principal, maintenance of liquidity, and then maximize return. None of that's changed. That's all still valid. Delegation of authority. I highlighted that just to bring you aware to an investment authority shall reside with the city's treasury investment board. And then who it consists of, it's kind of saying that again. And then the second highlighted area is the director of finance, who has the responsibility of the investment process and carry out all operational requirements of this policy. That's none of that section delegation of authority has changed. So I just wanted to bring your attention to that language. The standard of prudence, you can all read that. It's pretty self-explanatory. That's the same wording, no change. The ethics and conflict of interest is important. So I thought the whole section was important. I know you guys can read that, but to me, that's important to have in the policy. Not all the communities have something like that in there, but I think it's a good idea to have it in there. And it was in there before, so it's just left in there. Under authorized investments, on page 3, all the ones that are there, A through G, were there before, but we took out 3 authorized investments that they're not even offered and we've never invested in. They are the repurchase agreements and the banker's acceptances we've taken out. And then we left commercial paper in there, but shortened it significantly. It was almost a full page just on commercial paper. And I just thought it was okay. We don't use it, but we can, but it references sections of the Ohio Revised Code, so I thought it was okay to. I tried to shorten it. It was a 10-page document. Seemed like a 10-page investment financial document is pretty long. If I could shorten it without taking out any substance, that's what I was doing there. After that, we have a cemetery endowment trust fund that was talked about in the previous policy. We have $1,000 in that fund. It's, to me, it wasn't relevant to the investment policy, and so I took that out. And then we have a Toledo Community Foundation. It talked about that in there. And we have I don't want to call it a grant or a donation. It's about $30,000. There's no money going in and out of those funds other than interest for the last 10 years. But it didn't make sense to me that it was in the investment policy, but I just wanted to make you aware it wasn't in it before we took it out. Maximum maturity is the same, and I just highlighted there so you guys know that we can only do the maximum of 5 years. It's been that way since I've been here. Diversification. The diversification section portfolio was a lot longer in the initial policy, and it talked about, it gave a lot of percentages, like we could only use 25% of CDs or 50% of this or 100% of this. In talking with one of our financial advisors, it was my recommendation that we take those out, and he agreed. For instance, if CDs are paying better than government securities, FMLA or whatever, not FMLA, but Federal Home Loan Bank, if CDs are paying better than that, there was no reason in my mind to limit ourselves to only, let's say, 25% of CDs versus, and then if the return is going to be better. So I took those out of there. Certainly, if you guys feel more comfortable with it in there, that's fine, but it does limit, because remember, CDs, they're no more risky. You just a matter of doing a bunch of CDs for the maximum $250,000 to be, secure. But, and Oakland, for the last few years, CDs had been a lot better than actual federal agencies. So
let me ask you a question about that, Toby. I apologize for interrupting you midstream, but They were in there the last time, presumably for some particular reason, and I know this is a long time ago. So why change them? Or why did they, why were they in there the last time? There's no, is there a provision in law that's changed that allows different flexibility or?
It's completely up to the community what they want to do. Financial advisors.
It's a forced diversification.
Yeah.
Program.
It is the thinking. I serve on a board where we just got rid of this too.
What was that?
I serve on another board that got rid of the defined investment.
You just limit yourself, really. You're giving up returns.
You've already.
Giving up returns.
The CDs are all FDIC insured anyway, so it's really.
And CDs can go out as the duration is just as variable as the federal agencies, so.
What I found in another situation, in that other situation, we have laddered CDs and they pay, there's more return than on the, notes and the federal notes and the federal, the federal paper. So that's why we did it.
I think it's a good idea to have the flexibility. Again, you're not increasing your risk. You're not doing anything. You're just, I could see if like CDs were all just a year and they don't want you to do everything for a year and then have the market, rates blow up.
Like we did.
But the CDs go as many up to 5 years, just like the federal agencies. It did make sense for me to have it in there to limit ourselves, so that has been taken out.
Makes more sense to ladder the CDs than it does to limit the amount of money you have in CDs.
Our financial advisor, he agreed. He was actually surprised it was in there, but he's like, yeah, I agree with you. You should take that out of there.
When you say financial advisor, who is that?
UBS.
So
he came in and spoke.
Yeah, I remember that. But so he's one of our financial advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. One of the three main ones. Yep.
I mean, the important thing there is that these are all federally insured investments in the first place. So it's,
Except for the municipal obligations or not.
Right. No, I'm talking about the commercial paper.
Right.
When I get a request to invest in a CD, like if an investment comes due and then they want to, they recommend a CD, I have to check with all three investors to make sure we don't have that CD already so that we don't go over the $250,000 limit. So they're all completely secured.
Yep.
In the old policy, there was a section on interest earnings, on how it got allocated. I think back then it was maybe to just three or so funds. It's not really relevant to the investment policy. We do have that spelled out, the list. I mean, we've added, even recently, we've added the ARPA fund to get interest. So we're doing it, but it didn't make sense that it was laid out in the policy, and it changes more often than the policy would change. So that came out, but it's not going to affect how we operate, it's just not in the policy. The prohibited investments at the top of page 4 is all the same. The next two sections, monitoring and adjusting portfolio and internal controls, is the same. The internal controls may be a little bit shorter. But
it's the last sentence.
Yeah, but it's really saying the same thing.
Not sure about that, but keep going.
Okay. the depository selection review. This is more for our operation bank account. We have a bank account with Fifth Third that we, you know, we pay out of the court, we pay our, all the court does their activity. We pay all our bills, all our payroll. So this is more geared towards that. And in the highlighted section there, it's just saying that the bank, in this case, Fifth Third, has to pledge collateral, for the amount of deposits that we have with them. That's always been there. It's always been the case. But this selection, this depository selection and review is more geared towards the operational part of the checking account bank and debt investment. But it's still good to have in there.
What, Toby, on that, what sort of collateral do they pledge?
They're deposit, I gotta think of what they call it. I get a monthly report that shows how much money they have for collateral. I don't know if I know exactly what you're asking now as far as.
Well, I mean, when I hear somebody pledges collateral, collateral could be lots of different things. I have a red convertible. Is that collateral? Well, it can be in some certain circumstances, and some, in other ways, not. So, that's why I'm just curious, when they say collateral, what does that mean?
I always believe it was their deposits on hand, but I certainly will check to confirm that.
The reason I'm asking is we've seen an awful lot of bank pressures in the last couple of months, which is the reason we kind of started down this path. But when, you know, a large independent bank saw like $50 billion go away in about 4 days, that's why I asked the question about collateral.
Yeah. Let me get a firm answer for you.
Okay.
The eligible banks and broker dealers, the only thing I wanted to make a note there is all our investment brokers and our bankers will have to read this policy. They'll get a copy of the policy, read it, and they'll have to sign that they've accepted it, read it and accepted it.
Can we do that now?
We do, yep. But the old policy was, you know, so old. I'm not sure if they have the copy of the policy, but I don't know that they. I know, like, when I talked with UBS, they just signed the end of the policy, basically.
Okay.
But this will actually have a place for that they have to sign. On the last page 5, competitive selection of investment instruments. I've shortened that just to allow for more flexibility. It was a pretty long section. The initial wording was pretty similar to what we talked about with the percentages, although it didn't have the percentages. It was pretty restrictive. I thought that there was no reason to be restrictive when we're talking about this. It's similar rationale to when we talked about getting rid of those percentages. Performance standards. Same.
Hold on. So, on page 8 of the current policy, there's safekeeping and custody or collateralization. I don't remember those being. Did I miss those?
That is no. I'm gonna get to that. I have it on my paper. That was taken out. That and the collateralization was taken out completely.
Why?
The collateralization. So I'll start with that one. It's really what we've already talked about previously in the policy. It's just saying the same thing in a longer version. And our policy already references the Ohio Revised Code sections of 135.18 and 135.181. So it's just saying it again. It depends how long you want your policy. There's nothing wrong with it being in there. It just depends how long you want your policy to be. The other policies that we looked at for local communities did similar things like this, but they didn't throw out their whole policy, which made them so short, is they just references these codes, they'll have revised codes, and that's it, and they cover themselves. Well, we actually do reference that collateralization and those Ohio revised codes earlier in the policy, so there wasn't no sense for me to say it all again, but again, it doesn't hurt. It's not hurting anything to be in there. It's just making a document longer.
So Mrs. Brennan, I have a legal question attached to that. Mm-hmm. If we require or the investment advisors that we're utilizing now or in the future to sign off on this policy, mm-hmm. It is referencing the ORC sufficient that we should presume their understanding and acknowledgement that they're going to follow those or not?
If we take the section out, it is covered in reference. I would maybe attach that. I would have them maybe sign a specific statement that they are familiar. I would assume as the three people who were in to talk to us last time, it's a pretty specific area of investment. I think that they would, if they're willing and qualified to handle cities' investments, they would be familiar with it. But I would, you know, I'm a lawyer and everything makes me nervous. So it makes me feel more comfortable to have it in. But you know, if we want to save some trees, we are certainly covered by referencing it. But and having them sign it.
And saying if they're familiar with the revised, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good enough.
Yeah. And we actually, Mike and I went through this, you know, section by section, the original one. And certainly if it was his recommendation that needs to stay in there, I would have left it in there, but that was not his recommendation. He deals with 70 other policies, and again, it just depends how long you want the policy to be. The safekeeping in custody, to me, again, is a little bit outdated. I think it doesn't need to be in the policy. It's more common sense than anything.
So you don't think that we have any, by pulling this, we have any incremental exposure that we're accepting?
Absolutely not. Okay. No. Again, it doesn't bother me that the policy is 10 pages, so I wouldn't have taken anything out that I thought was going to cause any problems at all.
Okay.
Again, it's 22 years ago, things are a little, I mean, even like, it's talking about, you know, there has to be a safekeeping of actual hard copy of something. Well, there's not really hard copies of much anymore, so it's some of the stuff was irrelevant, but a lot of it's redundant or covered in, you know, reference in these codes. So does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
The reporting, the last section there, before the signatures on page 5, in the original documents, it's a longer version. This was another case of just shortening up the policy without, you know, I wanted to make sure the last sentence there that's highlighted, the main thing was that, you know, I report to the Treasury Investment Board the listing of the investments, and then a similar report shall be furnished, the last sentence there, by the Treasury Investment Board through the Finance Director to City Council on demand. So I thought those two things basically covered that reporting section without it being that long. I think that was the important part of this council. Can see it whenever they want on demand, and I'm required to report to the board annually.
You know, I wonder about having a conversation around the words on demand. I feel like we've lost sight of this because it wasn't front and center at any point in time for us. So I don't know if it would be something to consider either having that Treasury Investment Board reporting to City Council annually or at least to the Finance Committee annually, so that council members have front and center. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that enters my mind, and I do know I reviewed the other ones, but it seems, I'd like your feedback on not having anybody from council be in any way attached or involved with the Treasury Board. It seems like we are pretty distant from that, but that is where a significant amount of cash is. And certainly, we have accountability to our community for that. So feedback on why there would not be a representative, president, council, or somebody on that committee.
Again, this is set up, was that even set up before 2001, the Treasury Board?
That might have been in 96. I think that's when some state, the ORC, may have been amended to require those in every city, because I've been doing my research, like a lot of them were adopted in 96 with the Treasury, and that seemed to be probably a sample ordinance that every community just adopted to create and be in compliance with the statute. So we certainly have flexibility to include.
It was decided at some point. I will tell you that one of the local communities, it's just the finance tracker. It's nobody else.
Doesn't make it right.
No, I'm just, yeah, I'm saying we're not.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable with that, as you probably well know.
And I would like that. I'm just, so it's not unusual, but certainly there's flexibility.
I don't think you want to have a ton of people on it by any stretch of the imagination, but to have an important representative, you know, I don't know, president, council's also chair of finance the way we're structured right now, so that seems like an appropriate position to put at that table, potentially.
I have the same thought, but, sorry, is there a need for it to be an odd number?
All the three?
Well, because it says majority. So you have four people on the board?
Yeah, we could give veto authority. We could have one person be able to override the mayor, maybe, would be the appropriate person to override a tie. But I don't know, that's for you to decide, but because we could run into some public meeting requirements if we have two members of the finance committee potentially on the board, that would be problematic.
Do the law director and the finance director have to be on the board?
No.
Legally?
No.
Well, one of them could be ex officio.
Mm-hmm.
Could be what?
Ex officio. So they could be on the board, but they don't have to vote.
Right. I can.
Thanks.
I'll take that.
Well, that's fine. I'm just.
Well, it makes sense. You know.
The law director is there to review the illegal.
Right. I don't have.
And she does that as a non-elected official.
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So any other questions from, because I've got a number of questions. Any other questions from council members?
We'll wait and hear yours, because certainly they know that you'll cover it all.
Okay. Well, fine. I'll start then if nobody has any specific questions. So this was passed in 2001, but the revised codified ordinances say that the Treasury Investment Board can modify this policy.
They're the only ones that can modify it, correct?
Well, that makes me incredibly uncomfortable, by the way, as well. Has the Treasury Investment Board modified this policy as far as we know in the past?
No. We haven't found anything going back, and I know for not such 10 years as any.
Okay. So that's helpful. Have we ever had a firm, because you talk about investment advisors, and I kind of sort of see UBS and Fifth Third and SJS as investment advisors, but kind of not. I kind of see them as brokers. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Have we ever had an actual investment advisor that was getting paid separately and wasn't making it on the transactional percentage that was held in the accounts? Or who knows what Fifth Third charges, because they still haven't gotten any clarity on what they charge for the service. But the other two, my understanding is the percentage.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, should we?
I mean, it's so limited on what we're allowed to invest in, I don't know that you, I think you would just be paying money what you would need to be paying.
Well, here's the reason I'm asking the question. We're sitting on $37 million, which is not a titanic sum of money in the scheme of federal or state government, but for us, that's a lot of money. We were out on the curve a number of years at 0.1 versus 0.15% interest. I just don't know whether somebody who was coming in saying, hey, interest rates may well rise. We probably, for the extra 40 grand a year we're making, it may not have been worth it. That's why I'm asking the other question. Because I don't know what your background is in this area, so I'm not trying to be negative towards that, but
no.
Sometimes bringing an outside party that isn't making money on the decision at a day-to-day blocking and tackling level can be helpful.
So are you agreeing that the three individuals that came in and spoke are doing what you're saying, but you're saying they're conflicted because they got money out?
I don't know what they're doing, Toby, because I don't know what the interaction you're having with them.
Yeah, they do market updates. They've sent me market updates and everything all the time.
So when UBS says to us, we're going to recommend X, and Fifth Third says we're going to recommend Y, how do you make the decision on which way we go?
Typically how it works out is there's money with UBS, so if something comes due on UBS, he will send me, I'm using UBS, but this would apply to all three of them.
Right.
He'll send me, you know, our portfolio as far as how many, the dollar amount we have in a number of years. He gives me a market update, what he believes is going on with the market, and then he sends options on, let's say it's a CD that came to around at $250,000. He sends these multiple options. I choose the best of those options. I don't then go say, okay, SJS, I got $250,000 coming from UBS. Do you have better options than that?
Why not?
I just haven't done that because our stuff is so... It's so generic and basic that it's really not going to be significant or even material one way or the other. Because
so,
of those stuff that we're only allowed to look. So they're all looking at the same thing.
So you benchmark these entities and they all have the same returns?
They're pretty close, yeah.
So, okay, so you could provide us those benchmarks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about Star Ohio? Because I know that money's completely liquid, correct?
Star Ohio has always, we would invest in Star, I would do with Star Ohio. It's always been less than either CDs or the federal agencies.
Always?
Mm-hmm.
Who checks that? You or?
Both me and the
So if UBS says, we want to move, because we can move $5 million to Star Ohio if we had it available, right? Because that money's secure. So if we flop that money over, is UBS still getting a piece or not?
If we move the money to
Star?
They're not getting, UBS is not getting it.
So UBS isn't going to make that recommendation then? Mm-hmm. Never. Well, I shouldn't say never. It's unlikely they're going to make the recommendation because it's outside their financial. That's the reason I'm asking the questions, because when I say having somebody look at this saying, okay, Star Ohio is it, I looked 3 weeks ago, 5.6% is what Star Ohio was giving out. Now, I don't know whether that's weekly, monthly, daily, what that percentage is. But
I believe it's daily. That's the risk that you have with Star Ohio. Yeah, it went up faster, but it can go down faster, too.
Understood. Okay. Start going through my questions.
Well, to go on that, is there any precedent of other cities having a position like that, or even come in once a year consultant? I mean, do we know if anybody is, you know?
I don't know of any positions, but I can't say they're not having consultants come in.
Is that more what you're talking about, Mark, having a consultant come in once a year, or having somebody on staff?
No, nobody on staff, but somebody that would come in and evaluate, because I mean, oh, okay, so let me ask the question a different way. Why does SDF have X? Why does UBS have 3 times X? Why does Fifth Third have 2 times X? If they're all the same, why is all the money with you? Why do we have more money with UBS and not SJS? And we're making, somebody, you're making that determination with the Treasury Investment Board, presumably. That's why I'm asking the question. If there's no difference in the values, then it boils down to what percentage are they charging? And my impression is that UBS is charging 0.2%, and SJS would be charging less than that.
No, that SJS actually charges a monthly fee, though, also, that the other ones don't.
Okay, so how much do the three firms make off of us on a percentage basis of the total value of the account?
I have to check on that.
Okay. Because the information you sent over looked to me like there was a declining block rate on a percentage of what they
hold. SJS is the only one that, of the three, that actually gets a fee, a set dollar amount fee that they get every month. It's not set, the dollar amount's not set, but they get a lump sum every month.
Okay, so
the other ones do not get that.
You sent other documents over to me that showed that UBS was charging 0.2%. Was that incorrect? That was off a UBS document.
No, that would be correct if that's what I don't remember what document I sent.
I know we've got a lot of documents. Because I don't care whether it's quarterly, whether it's monthly, whether it's annually, if they're charging 0.2% on the account, regardless of when they're collecting the money, doesn't change the percentage, other than for the effect of compounding, right? That's why the other question I have is, we talked about the Treasury Investment Board. What's the thought process of the Treasury Investment Board in your mind, Toby, being able to change the policy without going to council? Because it went through council the first time.
Yeah, I personally like that it goes to council. I think it should go to council.
Okay.
And again, it's not something that's going to change every year, but I don't see why it would hurt. Why it went to council before, I can't speak of, because it doesn't really say that it had to go.
Right, I know. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that the administration brought it to council for consideration and ultimate approval. I appreciate that too. So a couple of places here you talk about returns. Well, one here on the first page and then one later on. You've got the term on the first page is maximize return, but then it's a fair and safe average return on the investment portfolio over the course of the budget and economic cycles.
I think that what it's saying is that you're trying to maximize the return within the restraints of the top two things, the preservation of principal and the maintenance of liquidity. Those two are more priority over return.
So what's average?
What page are you looking at?
Page one under maximize return, number three. Fair and safe average return. What average are we looking at?
That would just be if you have all your investments based on, and they're all coming out due in different years, the average return, you have all these different investments. Are you asking, should there be a dollar amount in there or a percentage amount in there?
No, I guess I'm getting too caught up on the semantics, but when I see the word average, what comes to my mind is an average is against, it's not the average of whatever the return is. The average means, okay, I've got a mortgage interest rate of this, and everybody else has, there's 12 other people, and their average mortgage interest rate is X on an average basis, and I compare to that as a comparison point. And that's why I'm asking that question. I'm not sure that I understand what that means there.
I think this refers to, it's looking at the city's investments. Let's say we have 20 different investments. It's talking about the average of those 20 different investments.
Okay, that's not the way, fair enough, that's not the way I'm reading it. So one thing that I was curious about on this, when you talked about the delegation of authority section, Toby, you basically are provided the authority to make the decisions, and then you go to the Treasury Investment Board.
Within 7 days.
Within 7 days. Has that occurred traditionally?
No. I mean, it's, we, when the mayor's staff meeting, typically when we have new money to invest, yes, I talk to the mayor about it and where it's going and what firm is getting it. When something has just come due, basically, like say a CD, we don't officially have a meeting in the Treasury Board. Like if a CD, $250,000 CD comes due, and I make the with all the recommendations, I make the decision on what the new investment is going to be for that $250,000. We don't typically meet on that.
So.
It's more so.
So you don't see that as an act, because that it's the same money, and you're just changing from a CD to a money market or whatever.
No, I'm not saying that's appropriate. I'm saying that's what you asked. What's happening?
Right, and that's fine. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate the.
It's more so with new money. Like you asked, how do we determine who gets money?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I sit down with the mayor and talk about.
Okay. We talked about the advisor piece. Explain to me again why I understand the community foundation was pulled from the authorized investments, the repos, the repurchase agreements. Why was that? Why did you pull that out again? You'd mentioned that we hadn't used it.
We haven't, and I can't remember. In talking with Mr. McCullough, some of those weren't even available. They're not even available anymore, but you're talking about the repurchase agreements and the bankers' acceptances?
Yeah,
I can't remember. One or two or both of them aren't even available or not even an investment anymore when we talked about that. But it also might be that we just never invested in it, and so there wasn't no reason to put it in there.
So question for you, Mrs. Brining.
Out.
Oh, sorry.
Ready for
okay, fair enough. Well, the reason I was wondering is this list does not necessarily mean it's comprehensive, correct?
Correct. Just like the list of unauthorized or the authorized.
Right. Okay. So somewhere down the road, we had an opportunity, and it was legal according to the revised code. We could do that if we wanted to, even though it's not on this list. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
What you're proposing? Okay. So, maximum maturity, 5 years. Why 5, not 3 or 10?
5 has always been the high limit, the high end that you want to go. The reason it's not 3 is because it just gives you more flexibility to go. 5, I think the reason I think it's most, if not all, of communities will only go out 5 years. All of them that I've been at have only gone out 5 years. It probably has to do with risk when you're talking about going out, you know, 10 years or so.
So
I think our investment advisors pretty much told us everything was 3 years plus, as I recall.
Really? We've been 5 for, I mean, obviously the policy says 5, but we've gone out 5 since, you know, since I've been here. We've gone all the way out to 5.
So there's an exception there after if it's approved by the board. Has that occurred?
Is that approved?
Has that occurred? Have we gone past 5?
It's not occurred since I've been here.
Okay. So, monitoring and adjusting the portfolio, you have the term there, those responsible for day-to-day management. Who is those? Is that you?
That would be
or is that like the investment advisors?
Would be both me and them. The other three investor advisors.
you pulled out of the internal controls, one of the things you pulled out was no annual review or an audit. Have we ever done that?
No.
Why?
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay.
I mean, other than our normal audit, a special audit just for this?
Right, right, okay.
Now, our normal audit, they look at all this stuff.
I know.
It's just not a specific audit just for this.
Okay. Depository selection says the city shall designate. Who in the city designates? Is that you? Or is that the Treasury Investment Board?
I think it should be the Investment Board.
Okay.
Investment Board. Because I don't represent the city. The board more represents the city if you're talking that way.
Okay. I'm just looking at language that, you know, if we're cleaning this up, I want to make sure that it's shorter but specific as we can be. I'll skip that. So I'm still a little unclear on, so if you have a CD that's rolling off at the end of the month, and let's just say it's with Fifth Third, they come to you with recommendations, it's at 250 grand, they come to you with recommendations and they say you could do X, you could do Y, you could do Z, then you pick, or do you come to the mayor and Leslie, and collectively you pick? How does that mechanically work?
Money that's just rolling over, I think.
Okay. And how do you make a determination on term? So they say, okay, we want you to lock up the money for 3 years. Is that something that you're making that call on for the 250?
I have to make the call on everything. But they're obviously giving a recommendation. They're making a recommendation based on not only where we currently are, our portfolio, as far as they show that, you know, the dollar amount coming due in each year for the next 5 years, but then they also do analysis of the market at the same time.
Toby, do you usually just re-ladder? Like if it's a three-year CD, do you?
No, we've almost always invested in, it's almost always a different CD, different bank. Is that what you mean by rolling it over into the same bank?
No, I mean in terms of term.
No, it depends where, it just depends where rates are and where we are in each of those 5 years as far as dollar amounts.
So you don't have a preset ladder rotation?
No.
For time?
No, it's each time one of those comes due, it's the same process.
But it's already laddered.
Well, I understand.
What you're saying.
The boards I'm involved in, you know, when
I've been on those boards,
you have a three-year CD, it comes due, you need another three-year CD to ladder. That's how it's done.
They're going to do I'm going to decide, but they're going to recommend what they think is best. It's not
based upon current rates.
Be a 3 year.
Based upon current rates.
Yeah, it could be 1 year, it could be 5 years. It doesn't matter.
Okay. And do we ever look around for investment advisors? There's got to be people who call you on the phone, Toby, and say, hey, you know, I could do whatever those guys are doing, but better.
I actually, honestly, I don't get the calls because it's specific. Do you have to have a specific government? Like, let's, Huntington Bank, like, they don't even have a government department that handles government investments.
Okay.
It's very selective on who does do that.
Okay. In reporting, and this is more comment for you and for members of council, to me, the city council gets quarterly reports on how many cubic yards of waste are put in the compost up there. On demand, in my mind, isn't sufficient. In my mind, it should be semi-annually, bare minimum, on what we've got. And quite frankly, not just that, but a report that projects income streams in the future. Some of the stuff that those gentlemen provided was good information, I thought. Durations, where we're at on the portfolio, different things like that, I thought was helpful for me as an education. I can't speak for other members of council. So that was helpful for me to know, because we're sitting on $37 million of different terms and circumstances that we that you're handling and as administration. So I'd like to have more information, not less, on that.
You just tell me what you want. Would you like to see their statements? Is that?
I mean, but to me, it's not just. To me, it should be a summary at first, and then if we want to drill down, that's fine. But what we've gotten in the past is dollar amounts, and you send out like a monthly. So this is $14,367,212.13 or whatever. That's great, but that's a 100,000 foot look. It doesn't give at least me any feedback on, okay, how far are we out? What's the future interest? What's rolling off in the next 12 months so that we're going to get more interest next year? It's going to create more income because interest rates have risen so much. So to me, that would be helpful at least every 6 months.
Okay.
But to me, it should be in the policies.
By yeah, what do you what do you want the policy to say?
Well,
duration, I guess, is what I'm asking. Instead of on demand, what duration?
6 months, in my mind, minimum. But I'll defer to other members of council and what they would want as far as I don't certainly want it monthly.
Okay.
You know, what is council's thought process on that?
Well, you know, one of the things I did notice in looking at some of the policies that Leslie forwarded on Thursday, and I won't tell you I read them all.
Did you read Dublin? If you read Dublin, I'm impressed.
That would be a lot. But they generally provide for some regular reporting to the Finance Committee or the Council. Pretty uniformly. So that's probably a good idea.
So semi-annually, frequent enough in your mind, Doug? Or quarterly?
You get monthly statements from all these guys?
Yeah,
I mean, I generally report quarterly. You know, I get quarterly reports for the funds I'm on. I know. You know.
Well, we get quarterly reports on lots of other things.
Yeah,
too.
We do. Semi-annually would be an improvement. I'd also feel very comfortable with quarterly.
You're not talking about the hard copy quarterly reports. You're talking about a physical. I think semi-annually would be a good start as well. But I feel very comfortable with that. I'm not sure we want to do quarterly yet.
But yeah. I don't need to know that we got a, you know, CD at XYZ Bank. I don't know that I want that level. I'm not trying to look at the dirt on, you know, underneath the grass. But I would like to have more information than what we have had in the recent past.
I said that at the beginning, that on demand isn't enough, and we haven't heard anything since I can remember. So I think some accountability and some reporting to council is good.
The other thing, if there's going to be a change in the policy itself, that it sounds like we need to change the codified ordinance to do that. That should be a council level determined, which is effectively what you've done in the past anyways, but I think the ordinance should be updated to recognize whatever we end up with here, that this is the policy, it is what it is, and to change the policy, you need to come back. That's what you've done. To me, it's just a recognition legally of what you've done. I know Mrs. Westfall's got something going on. I've got a couple of other things, which, relatively speaking, are somewhat minor. But the key points are, I think somebody, at least one person from council, should be on.
Mm-hmm.
policy should have to be approved by council if there's going to be any changes. And incremental reporting, those are the three big drivers for me, having reviewed the document. Do we have any other questions for Mrs. Bryan or Mr. Schroeder?
I would just like to know what our takeaways are today. Are we going to have, do we need a motion to have legislation updated or to have?
I'm not there mentally yet.
Okay, I agree, actually.
There's a couple, because I asked questions of when it says city. My concern about that is who in the city, and Mr. Schroeder came back and said, I think that would be the treasury investment, which I agree with, by the way. But there's some just a language cleanup, I think.
I'd like to have a little more time to look at the things you pulled out. I feel like I still have some questions on that, but since I wasn't able to get the hard copies printed, I don't feel like I've reviewed them, and now I feel like I have an option to look at that note as well.
So isn't our next step here for Leslie and Toby to get us a revised investment policy? Look at that, and then we'll see what additional legislation we need. We're not, I don't want you to, we got to look at the policy again before we have you drafting legislation. Is that, are you comfortable with that, Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. We've been on this policy for over 20 years. Another couple of months isn't going to hurt anything. Because I want to, if we're going to do this, I want to do it the right way. If it takes a few more months, it takes a few more months. Anything else to come before the Finance Committee meeting? So before I ask for a motion, which.
By the way, I know there's a lot of work that's been done here, and none of this is, you know, we just haven't thought about this. And so we're coming at it for the first time, and I appreciate your effort, and it's not any reflection of dissatisfaction with where we are. We just need to.
Me too. That's exactly what I was going to say.
We need to understand, that's all.
And we thank you for the, because there was a lot of work. I know that you do put effort forward on an ongoing basis, but to provide us the information and stuff, that I appreciate that. I'm sure the other members appreciate that as well. So thank you for the time, and obviously the time you're going to invest in the future, no pun intended. So with that, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Westfall, second by Mr. Richardson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carried. We're adjourned at 7:28 p.m. Sorry.